Those who scale the pinnacles of glory have the furthest to plunge into the abyss.
Welcome to the Regimental Vox, a podcast dedicated to all things Warhammer and wargaming in general. I am your host and Vox operator for the evening, Caleb Meyer. It is Tuesday, September 3rd. Just a one day late, just because honestly I kind of forgot that yesterday was a holiday. Like, I knew it was a holiday because I was going to have the day off, but I'd also completely forgotten that it was a holiday, which meant I was going to be doing things other than recording on Monday. So, yeah. Otherwise, I would have mentioned something last week. Maybe I did, and I just forgot I did that even. Fuck if I know. But that being said, this it was supposed to be an extended weekend, like kind of an easy-breezy weekend and shit. Had some shit happen on Sunday that kind of took the one day of we were meant to do nothing but hang out and chill, and that kind of went out the window. So, that kind of meant that, well, Monday happened, then I was like, well, we haven't really gotten to just sit and chill, as originally planned. Plus, on top of that, I just kind of already decided that, since it was a holiday, I'd spend time with her and doing stuff together rather than recording and shit. So, but all the same, the original plans that we had of chilling together still didn't happen all that well. Not that it went bad, but it just, yeah. Anywho, point is that day behind because of the holiday. So we'll be back on schedule, in theory, next week. That being said, as far as what's going on in my neck of the woods, like I mentioned, holiday weekend. Also, it was my birthday this past weekend. So, did some fun stuff on Friday. Had kids and stuff together on Saturday, so that was fun. Sunday had some family emergency shit, so that was not as much fun. Monday we just kind of chilled, worked on a little bit of some models. I got quite a bit of nerdy goodness for my birthday. So I do have the Warcry starter set now, as well as the Corvus Cabal, that box set. I got a Sloppity Biopiper finally, so that made Krista very happy. I mean, obviously she knew, she was the one who bought it, but it definitely makes her very happy and makes me happy too. Also got both expansions for the Munchkin 40K, so got to play that a little bit over the weekend with the kids on Saturday, so that was fun. Definitely as a note, if you're familiar with Munchkin, I can definitely say that those expansions added a lot of extra content. It was probably the one thing when I first got the 40K Munchkin, like I was like, hey, cool, 40K themed, but I was kind of disappointed to not see some of those extra wacky rules and stuff like we're used to in other Munchkin games, but they did add some of the wacky stuff in those expansions. Specifically, one card that comes to mind, Imhotep the Storm Lord, is a monster in one of the expansions, and if it happens to be raining or thundering or any other crappy weather like that, while you're playing, he gets a bonus. And that's if anybody, once again, if you're familiar with the old Munchkin, or even if you're not, it's a really good game anyways, but it's really funny when you'll come across the card that's like, oh, this thing is really super crazy, stupidly powerful, unless it's Tuesday, or something like that. Then it's like, and then you can just run away and ignore it, or just weird rules like that. It was always a really fun thing to have in a game like that. So I started working on the Warcry box set. Overall, I got a pretty jam-packed schedule over the next coming months for both her and I. We got the next week, Saturday, there's supposed to be an Age of Sigmar tournament, so that we're hoping to attend. There is the 40K League that I'm still a part of right now. I just got into round 3, I think it is, off the top of my head, and haven't gotten any of the games in yet. Hopefully we'll do so, I'm thinking, next weekend and then the following kid-free weekend. So next weekend's going to be pretty packed, actually, because of that, and the Age of Sigmar tournament on Saturday. And then also, too, with getting Warcry, I joined the Warcry Narrative League in the area, too. So, yeah. So, it's gonna be a pretty game-packed, you know, next few months here. If I read the information correctly for that Narrative League, even, that's going to stretch out into, like, March, I think. Because it's, you got to play, I think it's 12 missions. And it's 12-week rounds. 12-week rounds. Jesus Christ. It would never be done. 2-week rounds, 12 missions. So, 24 weeks, if I'm reading correctly. So, that'll be a pretty intensive thing. Although, it's only going to be one game per round that's required. So that'll make things a little bit, less stressful. Plus, from my experience trying the game out before and stuff, it's a much faster paced game. I'm hoping before the end of this week to have this set fully built. At minimum, at least the terrain built, and then build my Cabal. Krista did pick up, I bought them for her the other day, but we got the Nighthaunt data cards, so she can use her Nighthaunt as a warband. So, I had been considering actually getting my son the Stormcast Eternal data cards, because he does have some Stormcast Eternal stuff, and we pull it out every now and then, but he's going to turn 6 here shortly, so, having a full AOS game is a little intense, a little much for him, but I thought, Warcry's got a much smaller scale, quicker gameplay, etc. The only problem is that they picked out very strange, at least in my opinion, very strange model choices for the Stormcast Eternals. When I looked it up, it's only Vanguard models, like the Vanguard Hunters, the one with the long strike bow, Aetherwing, Griffhound, etc. So it's just really random that they picked out these models that are from very specific kits. At least from what I've seen so far. Take the Nighthaunt, for example. Nighthaunt has the Dreadwarden Chain Rasp, I think the Extoller of Shaiish, the Grimghast Reaper, Spirit Host, and a Glaivewraith Stalker. Those are your 6 fighter options. All of that shit is like pretty standard, like, if you started the Nighthaunt army by picking up any box set, you have most of that shit right off hand. The only thing you don't have is Spirit Host right off hand. And I get that they want to encourage people to maybe buy some models. I get that you don't want to just be like, oh, well, let's go with the absolute most common shit and nothing else. But I found it rather odd that, like I said, it's very specific kits. These aren't just, if you pick up a box of Vanguard Hunters, you can build most of these models. No, actually, most of them you can't. You have to buy this separate special set, which both of the sets that are including those models are currently sold out online. Big fucking shock there. Since there's probably a bunch of people who are planning to, do Stormcast and kind of got fuckered in the process. So, it's just weird. And then some of the other choices, like Iron Jaws, have 2 models, that they can use, just 2. Which once again, I thought that's kind of strange, but I get that that's obviously not the main intent of Warcry. The main intent is to, pick up these chaos tribes and stuff from the different realms. So that it kind of makes sense. It's just kind of frustrating at the same time, but, overall, Warcry is, I think, going to be worth anybody who, If you like Warhammer shit, it's definitely a really interesting looking game. I've trolled through the rule book pretty intensely. And I have tried it out before and really enjoyed it, but that was just like with a 3-man war band. So it was, you know, pretty small game. But the way the whole campaign system is set up and everything, it's got a lot of cool stuff. My one concern overall is with the way the narrative missions work, that through the narrative campaign, you get to these missions called convergences. And those missions, you don't have a win or lose to move on. You have to win in order to get past it. So, excuse me. So, in my mind, I'm just sitting here going, if I have to win to get past that, how is that going to affect this whole narrative league thing? Like, because there's going to be, like, glory points at the glory points at the end of the league will determine how you get prizes and stuff. There's going to be a tournament at the end, etc. So, it just seems like something that would be kind of a pain for a league purpose, because, I mean, you know, if you're me and your dice hate you and everything else, what are you going to do? Replay the convergence mission 100 fucking times in that 2-week round just so you can move on? You know, that just seems frustrating and kind of silly to some degree. But this is just theoretical. I haven't tried it yet. So, but yeah, so like I said, got that for my birthday, got a bunch of other goodies for my birthday. And I'm definitely looking forward to checking that stuff out. So now, as far as this week's episode goes, I was hoping to actually have some Games of Warcry in under my belt by now. But like I said, shit happened over the weekend. So that just wasn't going to be a thing. And I was also going to go over this new Space Marines Codex, but there is the new FAQ that just came out that I have not gotten dug into yet. So I would rather go through that and the Codex first in as a whole so that I, you know, not providing any misthoughts or misinformation. So we're going to hold off on that. So the primary things we're going to go over today, discuss the Nova Open, both the preview stuff as well as the results of the Open. Some pretty interesting stuff there. And then also to just kind of touch on more deep thoughts on the announcements from Nova specifically. So, but yeah, so first of all, though, we're going to get into the current newsy mabobs. There's not been a whole lot, obviously, because there's a main focus on the Nova event, which we will go over, like I said, separately. So, now, they did just announce through the Black Library basically a whole slew of horror books between October 2019 and March of 2020, both audiobooks as well as actual physical books. They got a lot of cool shit coming out, so I'm really looking forward to checking out a lot of these. Just what little I've tried out in the realm of the Warhammer horror stuff has been very good. They even are releasing one, the Way Out, is a horror audio drama. It was released as a small 3-piece set a while back, and I listened to that then, and it was really good. They are re-releasing it as a whole separate thing, and I not going to pick it up again because I doubt it's any different, but I do highly recommend if you didn't pick it up when it was part of the I can't remember the name of it, but they had like a little bundly deal thing where you could get all the pieces cheap through the Black Library, like a horror week thing that they did a while back. You can now pick it up, or soon pick it up in October. So but yeah, so definitely some cool stuff there. As I mentioned, the Space Marines FAQ is now live. I will plan to probably go over that next week, I would say. If not go over, depending on how much I get into checking out Warcry this week, that might be the main topic instead. So we'll see. But you can go check out the new FAQ now. It does cover Space Marines, White Scars, Ultramarines, and then, as it says, other publications. So Definitely give those a spin. And then we also have pre-order-wise, there's some stuff we'll go more in-depth on because it was also stuff that was announced at Nova. But the Gotrek model is now going to be available for pre-order this weekend. A really badass model, very dynamic-looking model. If you're a fan of the old Gotrek and Felix books, this definitely, you know, just oozes atmosphere. Like, it is just absolutely a stunning model to look at. Well, that was weird, actually. I was scrolling through. I see they say, this absolutely stunning model. That was after I said that, so weird. But it's true. So, and then there is going to be a new Warcry expansion, Monsters and Mercenaries. I'm going to go more in depth on that here soon when we're discussing the Nova preview stuff. And also, too, they did announce that the two warbands that were in Warcry will be available individually, which is good for those who need to bulk out their warbands if your primary warband is going to be Iron Golem or Untamed Beasts. So I will say, as a side note to that Warcry thing too, like, one might say, oh, well, why should I buy the box set? These guys are going to be available separately here soon. Okay, that's fair if you don't need all the terrain, the tokens, and everything else. But that box set is an incredibly large amount of stuff. You know, between getting both warbands and all the tokens, the cards, the rule book, etc. What's fascinating is that box, you can shake it and you could barely hear anything moving. It is so jam-packed with sprues and product that you don't really get to, you know, have the shit bouncing around and whatnot like you typically are used to. It's just a really well-done box. If I had to have any complaints about it, it is that the rule book is not hardback. And I know that's being picky, but I'm used to getting the really nice hardcover books. So I was kind of disappointed that it was paperback. But, I mean, it's still a nice quality paperback, but still, it was a little frustrating. You know, it still has a nice quality paper and stuff, just not the hardcover, unfortunately. The only other thing, and I've heard some other people talk about the terrain is difficult to build. So far, my experience with it has not been too bad, although I haven't gotten to the ruins themselves, which is the one thing I will say that I can kind of agree with. The instructions in there basically are like, hey, these ruins are mix and match, you can build it how you want. So we're not going to tell you even an idea of how to build it. Like, they show off some examples, but it would have been nice to maybe have them go, hey, you could build this any way you want, but here's one way we recommend if you don't feel like dicking around trying to figure out what goes to what in order to make it look nice. You know, just one default template version of it would have been a very nice feature. But, you know, like I said, that's being nitpicky anyway. So now, beyond that, the last thing here, they have started pre-orders on Aeronautica Imperialis. So this is something, I already have enough plastic shame as it is. Did I say enough? I meant I have a lot of plastic shame, but there's no such thing as enough plastic shame. But I really want this Aeronautica Imperialis. I always wanted to get into it way back when it was just a Forge World thing a long-ass time ago. I am so happy to see it coming back with all these new models and stuff. It looks incredibly badass. You can go to, I think it's aeronautica-imperialis.com or through the Warhammer community site. There's links for it and stuff too. You can watch a 20-minute how-to-play video, and it is looking like a game that's going to be both simple to, like, pick up, but very difficult to master. Like, it's very obvious that it's trying to compete with X-Wing with the guess maneuver and stuff like that, But which is fine. You know, X-Wing's a great game, and hey, take that formula, make it 40K, boom, I'm happy with it. Yeah, it's just, it looks like from that 20-minute video, it's like, wow, there's a lot of shit here, you know. Some of your vehicle, or excuse me, like planes, you're going to have to worry about like ammo count and fuel count. There's, you know, your max speed, your minimum speed, so you can accidentally stall your engine out if you climb too high and slow down too much. You can go, you can damage your jet if you go too fast by diving too hard. If you stall out, you might end up in a spin, which causes you to start, spinning, towards the ground, and you might crash and burn then. So it's a very interesting, complex set of rules, but it seems like it's fairly, once again, that the mechanics are fairly simple. There's just a lot of them. So it looks really, really fun, though, from what I've seen so far. What's really fascinating about it, though, is that the starter box set is $90. That's it. $90. In GW currency, that is dirt fucking cheap. So, I mean, you got, I think, 4 models for the Imperials, 5 for the Orcs. Then you got, rule book, token, the area of engagement map, etc., dice, all that good jazz. For $90, I mean, nowadays, getting a nice high-end, like, board game is usually around that price. So that's, like I said, for GW money, this is dirt fucking cheap. So I'm hoping at some point to give it a spin, but as of right now, I got my hands full, like I said, with Warcry and shit. Still need to finish building that Titanica shit as well. I'm going to have to start setting some goals for myself, but we'll see. So yeah, that's everything for the non-Nova related news that we have going on. After the break here, I'll get into talking about the Nova Open itself, so stay tuned. You're listening to The Regimental Vox. Follow The Regimental Vox on social media by going to facebook.com/TheRegimentalVoxPodcast or on Twitter at Regimental Vox. Like what you're hearing? You can help support the show for as little as $1 a month by going to patreon.com/TheRegimentalVox today. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Regimental Vox. As I mentioned before the break, I wanted to go over the Nova Open event itself. There was some pre-event controversy and also some interesting results of the tournament. So as far as the pre-event controversy goes, there were some questions regarding Gene Stealer Cult and other factions that have stratagems and such that ignore the tactical reserves rule. And what was interesting about it is that basically, I don't necessarily disagree with the ruling. In some ways, at least my Gene Stealer Cult foo is quite weak. So forgive me if I'm speaking out of turn here, but this is to my understanding. Basically, there's a stratagem that lets you take some of your blips from the field and put them back into underground reserve. The thing is that, the way tactical reserves works, anything you put into reserve has to be on the field by the end of round 3, otherwise it's destroyed. So you can't bring stuff in until round 2 at the end of your movement phase, and you have to have it deployed by the end of your movement phase on round 3 or it's gone. Unless there's something else out there that, can be deployed in a separate phase or something that I'm unaware of. But the point is that that's how that normally works. Now, the way that the rules are written is that in the case of like this whole, I don't remember the name of the stratagem, but basically it lets you pull like 3 of your blips and say, okay, these were going to be, being deployed, but I've changed my mind, they're going underground instead. The way that it's written, though, is that since they're deployed, when you pull them off the field, they're not, they don't go into your general reserve pool, like as far as, okay, this stuff must be deployed by the end of my movement phase round three. These things were already in the field, technically, even though they were just blips, they were technically deployed units, and therefore, they circumvent that part of the rule. Which that means you could put, you know, once again, I think it's up to three units into reserves and have them just chill out until turn four, five, or six. You could pop them up on turn six and just land them on any objectives you needed or whatever else. And just boom, 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 and, you know, wrap up the game. Which seems extraordinarily stupidly overpowered and shitty. But, you know, that's the way the rules are as written. Basically. Now, whether it's rules as intended or not normally would be a question. And I would say that that is not the rules as intended. But in this case, from what I have heard, GW supposedly came out and said, nope, that's the way we wanted it to be. Which I don't, once again, that's just secondhand stuff I've heard. I haven't actually read a direct thing from GW myself personally that says this is the way it's supposed to be. Because that just seems way too out there in my mind. So once again, in a way, I kind of agree with the ruling. Even if GW said that this is the way we meant it to be in a commentary, I still might support the ruling, oddly enough, because although anything that like comps or edits the rules seems a little extreme. In my mind, it's fucking with stuff too much. There is that argument about ITC rules and stuff like that. Some people really hate them. Some people really like them. Personally, even though it's, you know, not always to my advantage, depending on the game, as an AdMech player, it's generally to my advantage. But, you know, even when I rolled with the Demons, I decided to play True Line of Sight because that's rules as written. That's not, you know, the ITC rules for terrain is not the actual rules. That being said, GW really needs to do something with the terrain rules really badly, because it's just ridiculous as it stands. But yeah, overall, if GW said, nope, this is the way we want the rule to be, if they actually came out and said, Gene Stealer Cult is allowed to do this, and circumvent tactical reserve this way, then it should be left the fuck alone. You know? Every event can make their own rulings and stuff, and I get that, but I would say personally, leave it alone. That's the official ruling, etc. My cat is just going crazy right now, so forgive me if you hear him in the background. But that being said, the main problem with this whole thing is they announced this ruling like a week before the event. That's not fair. That's really shitty, actually. I understand that maybe it was something that they hadn't thought of until somebody asked the question. But I would say overall that that's a pretty shitty last, because at that point people's lists are locked in. And they may have been expecting to be able to use that stratagem. Now, granted, if your entire fucking gameplay strategy hinges on this one stratagem going off properly without a hitch, you've probably fucked yourself into a corner in the first place, and you probably deserve to lose, you know, regardless of what the ruling states, because, well, quite frankly, you should not count on one magic strategy to save your bacon, you know, because the situation just might not work out that way for you, you know, but it is what it is. I mean, what if you get boots? You know, if somebody decides to go ahead and wipe out the rest of your shit on the table before you've deployed your shit, you're going to have to deploy that shit earlier than you intended. So that's going to fuck up your whole strategy. But either way, you know, you shouldn't hinge your entire list building on one fucking stratagem. You know, it can be a main, like, concern. It could be one of your favorite stratagems, but it should not be like, well, I was going to win this game, you know, I was going to win this tournament if I had this ruling in my favor, and now there's no chance in hell because I'm a dumbass and wrote a dumb list. You know, so yeah, it's just kind of fucky and stuff in those regards. But either way, it's just not fair to a community of players to make a ruling after you've made lists, you know, have to be turned in, and then you make this ruling. It seems to me like it should be what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If they have to comply by sending in their list in a timely fashion, any rules changes should be announced and made clear in a timely fashion as well. Now, that was all of the negative who's and what's it's. As far as the interesting things go, though, this was actually pretty fascinating. This year's winning list for the Nova Open was Tao, actually. Richard Siegler went and won the Nova Open using a Tao list. That is kind of unconventional in many ways. It relies on things like pathfinders and stuff that are not super common in the meta, typically speaking. And which, you know, one would say, damn, how did he win? You know, or Tower just so massively overpowered, blah, blah, blah. If you actually follow the competitive scene, Tau, while they are powerful, they are more mid-level powerful. More, I guess in a lot of ways, more of a gatekeeper. Even then, not even necessarily a gatekeeper. They're just more, like I said, just more mid-tier. It's the pilot, you know, it's the person running the army that makes the difference. The big thing is, after I heard about this guy's list, I'd heard his name a few times before, but, you know, I did a little more research and dug into him a little bit and his current season. To my understanding, he's pretty new to the scene. Like, this might be his first season. I don't remember exactly. But what really, truly defines his list is not the list itself. It's him. He has a near flawless track record with this list so far. And that's the important part. It's with this list. It's not just he's playing Tau, or he himself has a flawless record. He has literally played the same list, I think, from what I gathered, give or take like 50 points worth of differences this entire season. And he has won like over 90% of his games or some crazy shit like that. And my point in mentioning this is that he took a mid-tier army and has managed to be extremely consistently successful with it. Now, has he won every tournament he's played? No, not necessarily, but he's won a shit ton of his games that he's played so far. The big thing overall that I think is important to take away from him and his list and everything else is not, oh, you should go play Tau. And this is part of the problem with this community as a whole, the competitive community, or just, you know, war gamers in general, is a new list, you know, becomes the new hotness because somebody won a big tournament with it. That, oh man, that's crazy. That wasn't winning before, and now it's just, you know, blowing the balls off of everything. And yes, sometimes they're very powerful lists. Jim Vessel's Chaos Demons list. Kenny Boucher rocking the Discordance, and he's not the only one, but he's the first name that comes to mind. Rocking the, you know, the Lord Discordance thing. Don Husen's you know, Derideo list. The Eldar Flyer spam, etc. All these things, they, you know, or hell, good old Jeff Robinson's, you know, Triple Caladius setup. All these things, they hit the scene, they once again blow the balls off of everybody in a tournament, and suddenly everybody wants to throw away all their current armies and just buy those and play those because clearly they're better than everybody else. But that's categorically fucking false. You know, if you actually dig into it, a lot of these winning lists that are just absolutely annihilating the competition are annihilating the competition by those particular players. When other people go ahead and say, I'm going to go play this same list because it's badass and it's going to win everything and I'm not even going to have to think about it, you will fucking lose. Most of the time, you will lose badly, repeatedly, constantly. And the problem is because you're not getting the reps in. You're not just going to pick up the Jim Vessel list and become a Chaos Demons player extraordinaire. No, you need to, if you want to make his list specifically work, you need to sit down and you need to play the ever-living shit out of that list. And some of these lists, in particular that Jim Vessel list, requires a very, very high-skilled player. And not just somebody who's a high-skilled player, but somebody who's a high-skilled player who understands that list. So this is the takeaway from this. Stop meta-chasing. Stop throwing away your old army, selling it, buying the new hotness, and then going, well, this fucking sucks. This is all bullshit. It's a lie. No, it's not a lie. You suck. You know, I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm just saying, you suck. That's the problem, is that you, the pilot, are committing user error and causing yourself to lose all your fucking games. So, for example, I have my AdMech army. I have tweaked the list here and there and stuff. My current list that I'm doing for this next round is going to be the first like major overhaul of my list compared to what it was prior to. I'm going to try it out. I'm going to see how it goes. But the big thing is I'm sticking with one faction. Last round I tried out Chaos Demons, got myself absolutely annihilated. I had fun as far as in terms of I had fun with my opponents. They were nice guys, etc. In terms of playing that faction, no. I was severely disappointed in it. But a lot of it has to do with the fact that I'm just not familiar with the faction. You know, I built these lists thinking I'm just going to decimate people because they're not going to be able to kill my Nurgle shit, and then my Khorne shit's going to roll in and just absolutely obliterate them. But I'm still not a skilled pilot with the assault phase in particular, which is what that really super relies on. So, you know, just overall, now, mind you, once again, my last game with them, I did feel like I did a pretty good job tactically all the same. You know, I've thought about it more and more since, and I've been like, oh, I could have done this a little differently, could have done that a little differently. But with how bad those dice rolled that game, I don't know if it would have made that much of a fucking difference. But my first game with them, I can tell you honestly, I just didn't know what the fuck I was doing. Like, yeah, I had some pretty bad dice rolls too, but it was a big part of it was I had no fucking idea how this faction worked. So while I am overhauling my AdMech list, adding in some new toys, changing a bunch of shit out, my goal here is not to be like, okay, well, I'm going to try this out for 10 seconds and see how it goes. No, I want to actually put in some reps with these new toys and stuff that I got and get a feel for how everything works and then go back to the drawing board and, you know, edit this out, put that in, etc. Not game by game. Oh, well, that fucked up and sucked last game, so I'm going to throw that out and put something else in. Oh, well, now this stuff sucks. Throw that out, put this in. That, no, you will never get anywhere doing that, you know. If anything, I highly recommend, if you've got, you know, like, let's say you know, we all see online, oh, well, this unit sucks, that unit's good, etc. You know what? Build what you want. Look at the rules. Go, this sounds good to me, or that sounds good to me, or whatever, and go for it. But don't just play one or two games with it. Play 10, 20, 100 games with that unit that everybody's like, this thing sucks. And get your own opinion through your reps. Then you can go back and say, you know what? This unit really just doesn't cut the mustard. And then you take it out and replace it, you know, with something else. But you might go, you know, I've had great success with this model. I don't know what everybody else is talking about. You know, just as an example, my first game with the Chaos Demons, my opponent had a squad of Reavers. And if you ask the internet, Reavers are complete trash. Total garbage, not worth even bothering to look at, etc. They're just junk. Total junk. And those Reavers tore me a new asshole. I had the reverse effect of going, well, the internet says these are garbage, so I'm not going to be afraid of them. No, they are fucking misery on shit toast when they have a like Phobos librarian giving them some boosts, and then they use a stratagem to fight again. They just shred through everything near them. They are nasty, you know? But if you ask the internet, everyone would say, nope, don't take that shit. My opponent used them very, very effectively, and part of that was also on me for thinking, well, they're not a threat because the internet says so, you know? So I'm just as guilty as anybody else, but my goal to myself now is to, once again, not just meta chase and not just try out a unit once, go, well, that sucked, and then take it out of the list, put something else in. You know, some stuff I've tried and tried and tried and tried to make work, and it hasn't worked all that well. Namely, my Sicarian infiltrators. The internet swears by these fucking things, but the same thing actually with my Fulgurite Electro Priests. The internet swears by these fucking things, and I've had very minimal luck with them. But I'm going to try some different stuff. My new list doesn't have Electro Priests in it. But I still have infiltrators, though. I'm going to try to use them a little bit differently from how I've used them in the past. So, because I feel like it's been user error, and I've learned that from getting those reps in. So I might be able to get to a point where I go, you know what, the internet's right about these things. They're actually really good. I might get to a point where I go, you know, I'm not seeing the big hype. This unit, I could put this in instead and get better results, you know. A lot of people discredit the value of the Humble Vanguard, but, you know, Rangers are a little bit cheaper, but the Humble Vanguard there has some really nice assault weapons. They have, I mean, a lot of it's only strength 3, but they could just pump out a volume of shots. And if they're in close combat with somebody, they give them a -1 toughness. So if you do have a dedicated, or at least a better close combat unit nearby, go for that. Hell, Iron Striders. The internet used to poo-poo all over them and be like, Stony Dragoons are the shit. I hate Dragoons. I've tried to make them work so many times, and I just can't do it. But those Iron Striders, those have saved my bacon more than once. So they impress the shit out of me. I've only played them in a few games, but every game I've played them in, they have been rock fucking solid. So overall, if you're looking to get better, don't go hunting down a better army. Unless you're playing Grey Knights. There's just no, or Dark Angels. There's just no helping that shit. You know, I'm half joking there. They are legitimately bad codexes. But yeah, sit down and put in the work. Put in the reps. Practice the game. Read your rules. Get good scrub, basically, is what it boils down to. But the way you get good is through repeating and practicing. So, but yeah, that kind of went off tangent from the results of the Nova Open. But that was kind of my intent, though, was to point out that this guy won with a rather off convention Tau list, you know, decimated everybody in his path and won a major event. Just because he knows what he's doing with that list. If you gave that same list to just any old person or even any old Tau player, they'd probably get their pants just completely, you know, ripped off. But he's a pro with that list, so he knows it like the back of his hand. So if you want to get better, you know, take your faction, your preferred faction, and sit down and start running through some basics. Teach yourself to, you know, learn the game through just constantly repeating with the same units over and over. But, you know, you obviously don't just sit there doing the same tactic if the same tactic never fucking works. You might be doing something fucking wrong. Try something different with the same unit and see what your results are. Learn from the experience. So, going to take another quick break here now. After the break, we're going to go over the Nova preview stuff, discuss my thoughts on that, and then wrap this episode up. So stay tuned. You're listening to the Regimental Vox. Follow the Regimental Vox on social media by going to facebook.com/theRegimentalVoxPodcast or on Twitter at Regimental Vox. Like what you're hearing? You can help support the show for as little as $1 a month by going to patreon.com/theRegimentalVox today. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Regimental Vox. As I mentioned before the break, wanted to go over the Nova preview stuff, which has got some really cool shit, and, I wouldn't say anything bad, just I was a little disappointed by some of it, personally. So we'll go ahead and we'll just go top to bottom of the actual preview article. The big thing that everybody was all waiting for is actually probably my... probably my biggest disappointment, actually, but not in the way that you might think, and that's the announcement of what the hell Psychic Awakening is. So they announced Psychic Awakening itself not too terribly long ago. I don't remember exactly when or what event or whatever, but yeah, and it was just kind of a little thing saying something big was coming, and... then they announced it last week at the Nova Open. And it was a whole lot of no information. A lot of people were concerned that it was going to be endless spells for 40K. And I don't remember if I had talked about this on the last episode, but I remember I was talking to Krista about it before the event, that I was like, there's no way in hell it's going to be endless spells for 40K. But if you ask the internet, the sky is falling. That's the only option, because the internet's pretty dumb. But no, endless spells does... I mean, it's still possible that it could be from what they announced. But I'll get into why. But the point is that as of right now, it is not endless spells for 40K. And it's very unlikely to be endless spells for 40K because it doesn't fucking fit. It just doesn't fit the gameplay. They'd have to, in my mind, do a very drastic overhaul of how the psychic phase and the mechanics of the game work in order to just jam in endless spells. Endless spells work in Age of Sigmar, both from an aesthetic side of things as well as a gameplay side of things. Well, that depends on who you ask, even, too. But for 40K... I don't think it would even fucking fit. Like, I just don't think it would work with the way the game mechanics function. But as it turns out, no, it's not endless spells. You know, that everybody was, like I said, shitting their pants thinking it's going, this is it. This is the end of 40K because endless spells are coming and we don't want that. It's not. And I think it's really dumb that everybody thought it was going to be. Now, I will eat my own words if it turns out they end up throwing that in at some point, but there's nothing there that even suggests that it will be. Now, the main problem, though, here of why I'm being so vague is because they were fucking vague. They basically made an announcement, announcing an announcement, is what it boils down to. You know, a couple months or whatever it was ago, they said Psychic Awakening's coming, and it's like, oh, what the hell is that? And then they do this big thing that's basically like, yep, it's a thing that's happening. And here's, like, next to no information on it. Now, what we do know, it is the next narrative arc, so the story is moving forward. That's really cool, really good information to know that something big is happening. And there's also going to be new rules for every single fucking faction in the game. So that's also really fucking cool. And then there's also going to be new models. They're even the one that they mentioned right offhand, plastic Howling Banshees are going to be happening. So that's kind of cool. But that being said, that's it. That's all they mentioned. Oh, it's going to move the story forward. And there's going to be a bunch of rules, and there's going to be models. So basically what they're saying is, we're Games Workshop, we make models, and we make rules, and we write stories. And that's all going to be happening just like we typically do anyways. So, like I said, I found it a very, very disappointing announcement because there's nothing to go off of here, really. except to just understand the scale. I guess that's the one thing I will say, is that they did emphasize the scale of this whole thing is going to be rather large. So, fine. The scale's going to be big. Gotcha. That's fair, I guess. Overall, there's just nothing to go off of here. So, now moving down the list here, this has had the internet shitting bricks once again. There is a Model 4 Kayvan Shrike of the Raven Guard. He's crossing the Rubicon Primaris. He's getting that Primaris upgrade treatment. And he is doing it emo style, as the internet is, like I said, freaking out about. He's got an emo haircut and everything else. Personally, I actually really like the model. And if anything, even though it's very obviously a Primaris model, since it's going the Phobos route, it's also not super crazy Primaris looking. Like, it's not out of thought. And he's even using still like the beak style helmet. I think it's a really nice looking model. I'm intrigued to see more. That being said, I'm kind of disappointed. Once again, this is very nitpicky, admittedly. I'm disappointed that it's not Iron Hand stuff, because they made that announcement about that Iron Father way long ago, earlier this year. I think it was the same time they announced the fucking, that the Ad Mech were getting a transport. But we've seen nothing else on this model since. And this is something that's kind of a problem that Games Workshop sometimes commits in my mind, is that they announce stuff, and then they announce something else, and then that something else comes out before the thing they announced first, and then a bunch of other shit comes out that gets announced, and people just go, okay, well, when is that thing coming out? Why did we announce that way back then, and haven't gotten back to it yet? Just as an example, there's those two battle tomes they announced a while back, the Cities of Sigmar, and then I don't remember the name of the orc one, but nobody has a fucking clue when those things are coming. They announced them, but they've announced plenty of other new shit for both AOS, 40K, and all the spinoff shit that's all coming out first, and they said not word fucking one on that original stuff. So, once again, I know it's being a little nitpicky, but it's just... don't announce something that you have no intention of releasing anytime soon, unless it's something really fucking big. Like, it's got to be huge. For example, the Sisters of Battle stuff. That was announced quite some time ago that they were going to be doing Plastic Sisters. But they had this whole... they were upfront about the whole process. Hey, we got these Plastic Sisters coming out. It's going to be quite some time before they're out, though. We're going to put out a beta codex through Chapter Approved. And then the following year, we're going to put out the full codex with the models. All right, you at least laid it out up front that, hey, this is going to be a long process. We're letting you know. Get excited. But it's going to take us time. We're going to keep the community up to date and involved, etc. They've done really well with the Sisters of Battle, whereas some of this other stuff, they've really just, they've announced it and then forgotten about it, is what it feels like. So they did announce some new stuff for some of the other spinoff things. The Middle-earth strategy battle game is getting the War and Rohan book. There's some new stuff for Necromunda. Not much that I could see there specifically. Now, they've already announced an expansion for Warcry, which I have mixed feelings on, namely because of the fact that it's kind of like with Kill Team, where they put out this product and then, like, immediately they're already outdating the product by announcing new shit for it. It's kind of frustrating to be doing these expansions so quickly, especially because, once again, they've already announced there's going to be two more tribes, but we don't even know when the fuck those are coming. Are they going to be part of this expansion cycle? Are they going to be a future thing? Are there going to be more tribes? What's the deal? The Monsters and Mercenaries is going to introduce the ability to bring in basically, like, you can hire an ally from other random factions. and not just factions that are models that are already in part of Warcry. There'll be new models available and stuff, or not new models. They're old models from the Age of Sigmar line that will now have new rules and be available for Warcry. But that's already coming out. Like I said, the pre-orders are starting this weekend, I think. I think it'll be a fun addition, but, you know, people haven't even had Warcry long enough to actually even try out the meat and potatoes of the game as it is. You know, like a lot of people anyways. You know, I just got it myself and it hasn't even been out all that long. So, man, my cat is just losing his shit right now. So, once again, I apologize if you can hear him dicking off in the background, but he just will not calm down for whatever reason. All right, so the next thing, and actually, well, you know what? I'm going to skip the next thing here. I'm going to move on a little bit out of order here. They are doing nominations for the Warhammer Heroes starting November 28th. They're going to be doing a Grandmasters Championship for Warhammer Underworlds. And then lastly, to my understanding, this is going to kill the index for 40K. Is they're going to have the Warhammer Legends, that models that were made before that no longer have rules, they are going to be putting rules out for them, but they will not be, to my understanding, matched play usable. You know, obviously a tournament organizer can choose to run them. Let's see here. Once we've assigned them their final points, they won't be part of that ongoing balance review, and we won't be recommending Legends units for competitive tournaments. So you could still choose to if you wanted to, but otherwise it's not going to actually technically be applicable for tournament play. So a lot of people are pretty upset about that. Personally, I say good fucking riddance. The index has been something that is massively outmoded and outdated, and it needs to go. It's just an extra layer of confusion, and it also lets some people get away with murder, basically, because you get to have access to shit that you shouldn't have access to. Now, that being said, there's some stuff that I think was kind of dumb that GW didn't carry over from the index when they made a full codex, you know, like Orc Warboss and Mega Armor and shit like that. Some of these things are pretty iconic units that they just up and ditched. Either way, it'll be interesting in the long run. I'm glad to see it go, personally, just to simplify the game a little bit, and also basically to not give somebody who has access to weird ass old models some weird freaky advantage over other people. So, and then obviously too, they announced the Adeptus Sororitas Sisters of Battle army set that will include the codex and a bunch of new models. It's got the battle sisters, your standard sisters, some seraphim. They showed off a new penitent engine, a new canonist, all sorts of good shit. So definitely something to check out. That will be out in November. So very, very soon, about 2 months, and we'll be seeing some Sisters of Battle. Now, the biggest announcement in my mind that was, you know, actually, this was probably the most exciting part, because it was pretty surprising in terms of the fact that we knew they were leading up to something, but whereas Psychic Awakening had a small little thing announced that turned into a very vague, not very informational, big announcement, the Tithe. You may have seen some of these little short videos called the Tithe, Warhammer TV, referring to some sort of shit in Age of Sigmar. There was some, you know, speculation that Tomb Kings might come back. And then it was like, well, no, it's not looking like it. And then it was looking, I think I touched on this a little bit last week's episode, looking a little bit like, maybe undead Cathayans, or, you know, kind of like a Mongolian themed undead army and shit. And that's kind of what we ended up getting. But yet more than that, too. So they announced a whole new faction for Death in Age of Sigmar called the Ossiarch Bone Reapers. These guys take Skelly Boys to the next fucking level hardcore. Now, a lot of people have said they're basically undead Necrons, which I would say, yeah, that's actually a pretty accurate statement. I've heard some other people also referencing kind of a Tyranid motif, actually, in these. And I've seen some other people argue, nope, you're dumb. There's no Tyranids here at all. It doesn't even look remotely like Tyranids. There's nothing like guys that are made out of bone wielding bone swords of any sort. No, that's not a thing. Yeah, no, fuck you. This has totally got Tyranid aesthetic written all over it, too. Namely, there's these guys. Let's see. What is the name of these fuckers? What is the name of them? Necropolis Stalkers. Yeah, there it is. They've got four arms. They are made out of like a carapace bone armor type thing. Just like, you know, Hive Tyrants and shit. Like I said, very much so a mixture of a Necron, Tyranid, and like a fantasy undead aesthetic all in one go. Very badass looking models. The whole line of these models looks incredible. And then this new character, Katakros, just an absolutely monstrous looking model. It's basically a whole diorama that comprises the model. You know, it's got the guy himself, the Mortark of Bone, just standing there being like, look at me, I'm a badass. But then it's got, you know, he's got four like attendants around his throne or whatever that he's this plinth that he's standing up on. Very, very amazing looking models. So the whole line just looks incredible. So, I definitely think whenever, you know, after I'm kind of feeling pretty comfy with my Maggotkin, I think Caradron's going to be my next go-to most likely. And I'm thinking still Gloomspite gets for destruction, but for building my death army, yeah, I'm totally going for these bastards. This Ossiarch Bone Reapers look absolutely fucking mental. So I definitely am very happy. I was hoping to see some Skelly Boys, and I got that and then some. So, but yeah, overall, very cool previews. Once again, like I said, Psychic Awakening was less than informative and less than interesting even. I will be interested in the long run once they actually start showing off the new content and what it actually consists of. But in the meantime, I think as an announcement, it was pretty piss poor. You know, I'm not interested to learn more about it. I'm really excited to be seeing that the arc is moving forward. I'm super curious to see what we're going to do to give every faction new rules. I really don't think it's going to be endless spells in any capacity. It could be, but I don't think it's going to be. You know, I think that would be a little much for 40K. I don't think the sky would be falling and it would be the end of 40K, but I don't think it would be good for the game. And I don't think that it would, you know, build, I don't think it would end up building up brand loyalty or anything. I think people would a lot of people would probably give up on the game a little bit, to be honest. I don't foresee myself deciding to up and stop playing the game if that happened, but I would be pretty disappointed if that did come about. Wish listing wise, I'm hoping that this will lead to, you know, more, I would like to see more fleshed out Chaos armies. Once again, I've mentioned several times before, I feel like Death Guard and Thousand Sons both got full codexes with Demon Princes. I think they should go do that treatment for World Eaters and Emperor's Children as well. I also feel like overall that, that Chaos just, you know, especially after seeing what they're doing with Codex Space Marines, I feel like Codex Chaos Space Marines needs a 3.0 now. Not that they need more models or anything like that. I do feel like they deserve to have more fleshed out chapter tactics, though, in comparison. So a lot of people have been bitching That Chaos, oh, Space Marines got everything. Well, Chaos got a lot of shit early this year, and they're getting most of the same shit that Space Marines are getting in this iteration of Space Marines, like the, you know, the Shock Assault, whatever they call it, Hateful Assault or something like that, I don't remember. So they're getting plenty of shit. They don't need more shit. But I do feel like from a fluff and, you know, customization perspective that you know, the getting to build your own successor chapter and all that shit, it was something that would have been really cool in Chaos, and they really dropped the ball there. And once again, World Eaters and Emperor's Children, I think, deserve their own front and center full codexes. If not something supplementary, a la, you know, Codex Supplement, Ultramarines, White Scars, etc. So, but yeah, I would like to see more shit with that. You know, with the Psychic Awakening happening, there's a, you know, just looking at the symbol and stuff, it could just be because, ooh, psychic stuff. But we've been seeing some keywords popping up and stuff too, like the Scholastica Psychana and stuff, in several different units, I think, through like Blackstone Fortress. So I think there's something hiding in plain sight there. I think we may see a whole new, like Imperial faction, built around the psychic offense and defense, which I think would be kind of cool. But I'd like to see other armies get some more boosts with psychic stuff, you know. We are starting to see them using, like, prayers and things like that to provide a little bit more psychic-style augmentation in the field for armies that have less psychic access. Not that Chaos or Space Marines have no psychic access, but I feel like it's giving some of these models a purpose that to affect the game similar to the way a Psyker does. So, but yeah, there's plenty of other things that I would like to see. I'd love to see, you know, AdMech more fleshed out. I know one would say, well, what more do you need? I'd just like to see more variety of models. You see some of these other codexes have, you know, a plethora of choices. AdMech could use a little bit more, particularly in the HQ department. You know, and just some of those older codexes in general, like Death Guard and stuff, they really could use a good tweaking, not just for points, but I mean to make the rules and stratagems more interesting. You know, I feel like Adeptus Mechanicus, you know, with the points drop the chapter approved brought, they don't need stuff in terms of like points adjustments and whatnot. That I think chapter approved addressed very well. God damn, my cat. Holy shit. But they still, you know, as far as the rules and everything else, the uniqueness of the army, just doesn't have that same flavor that some of these newer codexes have. And it's, like I said, it's not just AdMech. It's all those older codexes, you know, that were in the first few months of 8th edition being a thing, that they just don't have the same feel of being fully fleshed out properly. So, but I think we're going to call that episode here. You know, thank you guys for listening. As always, you can follow me Facebook, facebook.com/theRegimentalVox podcast, on Twitter @RegimentalVox. And you can also help by donating through my Patreon, patreon.com/theRegimentalVox. Every little bit helps. So, you know, help me get some new equipment and be able to do some more stuff with the show. So, but thank you guys for listening. I will catch you all on the next episode. This is Caleb Meyer signing out for the evening. Have a wonderful week, everyone.